Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir was ousted and arrested today by the Sudanese military, a military that up until now had backed him ever since he seized power some 30 years ago. The defense minister says that Bashir's arrest comes with charges of corruption and poor management. The International Criminal Court also has a warrant out for his arrest, accusing Bashir of war crimes and crimes against humanity in Sudan's Darfur region. Bashir's removal follows months of deadly protests and a sit-in at the military headquarters. Today, when news of Bashir's arrest spread, celebrations roared across the capital, Khartoum. But those celebrations came to a halt quickly because the Sudanese military also announced that it would be in charge for up to 2 years. That is not what the protesters were looking for when they fought for regime change. Tigrid Abdin is one of those activists. She's been protesting since December and explains how today really went.
The past few days have been pretty hectic. Work has come to a complete standstill. Basic things like groceries and bank transactions, everything has stopped because everybody is at the sit-in. But since last December, we've been protesting. People have been on the streets demonstrating against the regime until what was the planned endgame, the military headquarters sit-in. There was a very distinct energy to the protests, and there was hope, so much hope. But everything took a very strange turn today after the statement that was issued by the military. So, no, it is not perceived as a good thing replacing one strong man with another. People are extremely frustrated and outraged at what is perceived as a hijacking of our revolution. Protests will continue. The people have stated very clearly that they do not accept this, the authority. And a lot of people are just brushing themselves off and continuing in defiance until this second attempt at a regime is removed also. I hope that we are successful as demonstrations continue and the military acknowledges that the people are not interested in cosmetic change. We want real change towards a democratic system. We didn't work this hard for the military just to come and occupy us for another 2 years.
That was Tigrid Abdin, an architect and activist in Khartoum, the Sudanese capital. And as Tigrid mentioned, the protesters are not done. They're incensed that the Sudanese military is effectively taking over the revolution they started and putting itself in charge. Rebecca Hamilton has kept her eye firmly on Sudan since 2010 as a journalist and also as a lawyer at the International Criminal Court. She now teaches law at American University. What is your understanding, Beck, of what led the Sudanese military to stage a coup and remove Omar al-Bashir and arrest him?
This has happened as the result of extraordinarily courageous protests by the Sudanese people. The latest iteration of these protests began back in December, and they have continued despite people being detained, tortured, and just faced a whole lot of other consequences for continuing their protests. But ultimately, the protests have become overwhelming, and it seems that Bashir saw the writing on the wall.
The fact that those protests were not stopped by the Sudanese military, what does that tell us about Bashir's relationship to the military?
Well, it's really interesting because Bashir has always had an extremely close relationship to the military, and that is one of the things that has enabled him to stay in power for this long. But I think the military saw, with just the strength of the protests and the breadth of the protests is the other thing. This was not just from a narrow section of the Sudanese population. It was really from across the whole country, saw that the protesters were just not going to accept Bashir staying in power. And I think that is why they have moved to take control. It should be noted, though, that they are taking control for themselves. This is not a transition to democracy. And the man who is currently in charge, the previous vice president, now in control of the Sudanese government, Omar Abin Auf, he himself has a lot of blood on his hands and is, in fact, sanctioned by the U.S. for atrocities in Darfur.
Let's put the current events on pause for a moment and go back and talk about Omar al-Bashir, the man. What's the thumbnail sketch on Bashir and his impact on Sudan?
What we've witnessed this morning is, in fact, the fifth military coup in Sudanese history since it gained independence from Britain back in 1956. And Bashir, who was in charge of the fourth military coup back in 1989, has managed to survive and retain control of this country for 30 years. And he's only been able to do this by being a very sophisticated political operator. For the longest time, he was able to use the wealth of the state to develop a patronage system, to manage to keep potential rivals happy enough. But in 2011, when South Sudan voted to become an independent nation, what they took with them was the vast oil revenues that Sudan had been using and that Bashir himself had been using to help keep himself in power. And since then, we've seen a decline in the Sudanese economy and Bashir losing the ability to maintain the patronage system that had helped him stay in power for so long.
So he survived his relationship with Osama bin Laden. He survived the heat he got for Darfur, but it was ultimately the economy, it sounds like what you're saying, that was his undoing.
I think it's coupling of the economy with just the sheer courage of the protesters. In addition to obviously being able to develop this patronage system, the other mechanism that he had was not only the military, but the brutal and feared security services in Sudan that are known for just detaining people for any sign of opposition against the government, for any sign of protest, and routinely torturing dissidents.
So Sudan is at a strange impasse. On the one hand, Omar al-Bashir is out, but the defense minister has now declared a three-month state of emergency and imposed a curfew. What does this mean for the arrival of democracy, which is what brought the protesters into the streets in the first place?
The protesters are not satisfied by these developments. Obviously, they're an incredible first step, and everyone is heartened by that. But this is not what people have been protesting for. They are looking for a transition to true democracy, and military rule is not that. History here does not give us a lot of encouragement. When we look at the past military coups, there was back in 1985 a transitional military government that for once in Sudanese history did allow democratic elections. And so in 1986, we had a democratically elected president, but it was actually the military coup led by Omar al-Bashir in 1989 that took power from that democratically elected president. I think one of the challenges for listeners to understand is that this is not just about who is the individual in charge of Sudan. Sudan's real challenge and what the protesters have been fighting for is for a state that will actually represent all the citizens of Sudan. And that is the goal here, a true democracy where it doesn't matter whether you come from Darfur or Blue Nile or the Nuba Mountains. If you are Sudanese, the state should represent you. And that is going to be a longer struggle than simply the replacement of Omar al-Bashir.
Rebecca Hamilton teaches law at American University. She's been following Sudan closely since 2010.